The two major fires in Jackson County last September had very different effects. The Almeda Drive fire was mostly urban and destroyed nearly 2,500 homes from North Ashland to South Medford. The South Oban Chain fire was mostly rural, though it did threaten several communities and burn several homes. Mostly it scorched a lot of land, more than 30,000 acres inside a triangle formed by Eagle Point, Shady Cove, and Butte Falls. Work is well underway to green up the land again. That includes replanting trees, and we have some guests very involved with that effort. Chris Mathis is manufacturing instructor and NRC site development manager for Butte Falls Charter School, which is the school in Butte Falls. Chris, welcome to Exchange.
Good morning, Jeffrey.
Good to have you. Kara Balog is with us as well, a forestry outreach coordinator for Oregon State University Extension based at SOREC, the Southwest Oregon Research and Extension Center near Medford. Welcome, Kara.
Good morning.
So, Chris, let's start with you because we need to know what an NRC site development manager is.
I was charged with taking an old fish hatchery 13-acre site, which was decommissioned by the state in 2011, and turning it into rehabilitating it and repurposing that site to a hands-on outdoor learning center, which, you know, includes classrooms, laboratory space, and learning stations. It's a discovery and healing and learning and recovery center for our students up here,
so
as well as other people who want to play.
So did that present an opportunity here in the aftermath of the South Oban Chain fire to have that facility?
Oh, yeah. We were already engaged in an internship, which was an agriculture and construction technology class sponsored by a group called College Dreams. And we were set up to go as soon as we heard what was needed. The facility was a perfect fit for this type of volunteer operation.
So, Kara Balog, give us a sense of the scope of the issue. We've talked previously with the folks at the Soil and Water Conservation District about their efforts, but a lot of land scorched, and just give us an overview, if you would, of what the needs are.
Yeah, definitely. So after the Labor Day fires in general, I started working with landowners up there along with Jackson Soil and Water Conservation District through my Southern Oregon Woodlands program. We got a lot of folks tied up with either funding or in Jackson Soil and Water Conservation District's case, they grass seed to help with erosion. But one thing that has been perennially missing has been tree seedlings, with the entire state totally blasted by fires from the Labor Day fires. There just haven't been a lot of seedlings available statewide. So a little later on in the planting season, I got word from the Bureau of Land Management there was going to be a lot of leftover seedlings. So we thought this might be a great way to make the best of a non-ideal condition. We were well out of planting season by the time we were able to receive seedlings, but we were able to receive about 40,000 seedlings from the Bureau of Land Management and start distributing them to landowners. The vast majority we were distributing ended up in the Oban Chain Fire Scar, and as of right now, we've been able to distribute about 17,000 seedlings. However, because we are well out of the planting season, it's not a good time to put trees in the ground. If you do that, they're going to die. So there's a lot of extra care that's required. Namely, we're looking at potting those tree seedlings and watering them until we can get to planting season again in January. So a lot of extra work, but on the other hand, this might be the only chance for some landowners to get seedlings for the next couple of years, really.
Okay, so a mixed blessing. I mean, you have all these seedlings available, but you can't do anything with them right now because how high is the mortality rate if somebody says, oh, let's just go plant this tree now?
You could see 100% mortality at this point.
Wow.
With just how hot it is and dry.
Mm-hmm. All right, so there's the big word. If you get one of these seedlings, do not attempt to plant it outdoors in its final place now because it will be its final place.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so let's talk about care then. What to do then to maintain this seedling over the course of the next, 9 months? No, 6 months.
Yeah, so essentially, yeah, Chris, do you want to take this?
No, please, you're the expert.
Essentially, what we're having Chris's students doing right now is putting them in pots. These are seedlings that are about 2-3-year-old seedlings, so they need something between 1 to 2 gallon pots. Really, the 2 gallon pots is more advisable. And they have to be watered regularly until the planting season. They're going to be shaded. Chris has a wonderful setup there at the charter school where they're kind of in a bit of a valley. So they're in shading, and then they're putting a canopy over as well just to keep those seedlings as wet and covered as possible so they're not getting fried.
We are talking about reseeding efforts, although not now, in the burn left behind by the South Obenchain Fire in Jackson County last September with Kara Balog from OSU Extension and Chris Mathis from the Butte Falls Charter School. You can join the conversation on the exchange. You may have some questions about the procedure going on here or some comments about how it's being conducted. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Chris, how many students do you have available to help out there at the Natural Resource Center? And has school already let out for the year for you guys?
School is out, but I am here today with 14 students and some adult volunteers who camped over last night. School ended yesterday. They said, we're not done here. So they're making breakfast right now. The 14 students is my entire class. They all voted to continue with the process. We have 10th through now graduates. We have five graduates who have come back to help with this. But we pulled in eighth graders, and we've probably had up to 35 to 40 students over the last 2 weeks working on this.
And what specifically are they doing then? I mean, are they actually doing the work of putting the seedlings into the pots?
Oh, absolutely. So we were fortunate enough to get a large amount of topsoil from Jackson County Soil and Water Conservation District, as well as pots from Master Gardeners, Orchard, Home Bed and Breakfast, and the Bureau of Land Management. And we have a production line set up where there's four or five stations where the students are putting the trees into the pots, feeding the soil into the pots, and then sending them on to another station to hydrate them. And they're then inventoried and stacked, and we're getting them covered with a shade cloth. And it's a pretty slick operation. We have planted 1,500 trees now. We're potted up 1,500 trees at this point.
1,500. Okay. So what's up with the other 15,000 or so seedlings still left to work?
Well, we have about 4,600 here in boxes, if I'm counting correctly. Mm-hmm. There probably are more. We intend to continue to pot up the trees, and as long as they're viable, we're beginning to notice that some of them are probably not going to make it, at this point. So we'll continue to pot up as long as we have volunteers showing up. And we would encourage anybody who wants to come up and pot up trees, come up and pot up trees. We have the soil in the pots, and it's a lot of fun, actually.
Sounds like you got a couple of weeks of work left ahead of you.
We do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any idea how much, based on the current rate, you've been doing?
Well, if we continue with the current rate, if we get some fresh talent up here, we should be able to get this done in about another 2 to 3 weeks. And that's probably about how long the trees will be good, because the trees are heating up, of course, with the weather, and they had been kept in a cooler up till a week or two. And so their conditions are going to degrade quickly.
Okay, so the time is of the essence to get this done. And then Chris, I wonder just about the effect of the South Obenchain Fire directly on some of the families of the Butte Falls Charter School, because I know the town of Butte Falls was evacuated for a time during the South Obenchain Fire, as were parts of Shady Cove and Eagle Point. Did some people lose homes in the district?
Yes, they did. So I was a victim of that fire, and I lost 10 acres of trees. I was very fortunate not to have lost any structures, but my immediate neighbors did lose structures and their entire inventory. And I'm seeing my neighbors show up here to help with this process. So, you know, school was interrupted immediately after it started and shut down again because of the fire.
Mm-hmm. So Kara Balog, catch us up on what kind of land burning. I mean, obviously some of it was fairly open, rangy kind of land, but how much forest do we have a good catalog on that, and what kinds of tree species were lost?
Yeah, in the fire itself, it seems to be a bit patchy as far as the burn goes. Some landowners did result in moonscapes as a result of the fire, but others, there was a bit more of a patchy burn. We did not have all the seedlings that of the types of trees that probably burned in the fire, but we had sugar pine, ponderosa pine, and Douglas fir available. So, as Chris's students are potting these plants, we're going to be making them available to those landowners who weren't able to pick up beforehand with OSU Extension because they just weren't able to care for the seedlings. But with Chris's students' help, we're going to be able to distribute these seedlings to those landowners, whether they had a moonscape or they're just looking to replant specific, areas.
And the burned area is almost entirely private land, right? I don't see much, if any, public land in the burn scar.
There actually was a great deal of Bureau of Land Management land that was burned over, and that's where the seedlings were going to be going to, but they ran out of time and ran out of the ability to get seedlings in the ground, and that's why we were able to get them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so interesting. So we went from hard to get to a bit of a surplus then, in the sense that here you have all these seedlings. And you said sugar pine, ponderosa pine, and Douglas fir?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, we kind of went from no seedlings to too many, but a little bit too late. So this is really cobbling together the best that we can. Again, a big shout out to Jackson Salt Water Conservation District for purchasing soil, Jackson County Master Gardeners, Orchard Home Bed and Breakfast, and the Bureau of Management for donating over 2,000 pots. We wouldn't really be able to do anything and get these students to work like this without all of that help. And then, of course, the number one partner, the students themselves. Thank you so much.
So
you're welcome.
So, Chris, will the pots all stay at the NRC, the old hatchery site, or will they get farmed out and people can take care of them at their homes?
Well, they're going to stay here where they can be cared for. We have the facility and we have the the water available, and we have students working here all summer long to care for the trees. What we would hope to do is make these available to the burn victims second Tuesday of each month from 10 till 7. But of course, we have contact information that Kara can give you where they can contact us if they have some special hours that they would like to pick up the trees.
Yeah, any landowner who's interested in picking up some of these potted trees, and again, we can do that once a month with them until planting season. So for those who don't have the infrastructure to keep irrigating them until planting season, they can pick them up later. But for those who want to pick them up now, they can do that now too. But they can give us a 541-76-7371. Leave a message with me, and we'll get them set up for a pickup time.
Okay. Of course, your cell phone went blank at just the moment you were giving the number, but I think I have it in front of me, 541-776-7371.
That's right.
Okay. And they'll leave a message for you at that number?
That's right.
So, Chris Mathis, talk about what goes on normally at the Natural Resource Center site in the summer, or if there is a normal yet, because it's so relatively new. I mean, would you normally have students there working through the summer?
We would, but this summer is very special. We found a sponsor. We wrote a grant that made funds available to pay a stipend to students over the year. We did not get to take advantage of that until this last fourth quarter of the year. So we've got some funding to pay students through the summer and some student adult supervisors to maintain all the various gardens and farms and aquaponics projects and butterfly gardens and all the new plantings we're doing in the riparian zone. It's becoming pretty labor intensive up here. So this pilot project that we're running right now, I hope that it will be repeated year after year, but we conduct classes in all the curriculum up here but on a normal basis, and like I said, this fourth quarter is the first quarter in a year and a couple of months that we've even been able to have students on the site.
Yeah, that's a big change. So we're talking about reseeding, getting seedlings back into the landscape, but not right now because it's not planting season. This is when the mortality for seedlings is about 100%, as we heard from Kara Balog, one of our guests. She's a forestry outreach coordinator for the Southern Oregon Research and Extension Center based near Medford, OSU Extension. Chris Mathis is the manufacturing instructor and NRC site development manager for Butte Falls Charter School up in the hills. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Kara, we have an email for you from Marion, no town given. She says, why wait until January to plant instead of planting in the fall, say October? Thanks, from Marion.
Yeah, basically you want to be planting when the seedlings are the most dormant. That way you're not really bothering the roots and they're able to get in. Plus the moisture level is, that's after they get in between January and March. That's when you're going to get a lot of the rain. Just what we see time and time again, when you're able to plant in that January through March period, that's when you're going to get the best mortality or lowest mortality.
All right. So October, they're still kind of awake and aware of what's going on, or whatever the plant equivalent of awake is.
Yeah. It's still pretty warm out. So there's not quite dormant yet.
Ah, true, true, true. Chris, in terms of coolness, I mean, you'd be able to provide shade and water, but not the fridge that these guys grew up in. So is there anything like that you can provide?
Well, you know, the fish hatchery had a fish food cooler building where they kept the food for the fish cool, and it has been working reasonably well, and it's a passive cooling system. We're going to see it heating up. So the best we're going to be able to do is we're going to put in some overhead misters, and we're looking for some donations right now, shade cloth and shade canopies, but that'll be about as good as it gets. I just hope the water is going to be enough to keep them cool, because we're about to go into our second hot sequence here.
Yeah,
and we're going to find out right away what the reality is.
Yeah, indeed. So, but talk about though the what this means for the community to you're able to pull together and do something in groups of people to restore some of the land that burned around you.
Well, you know, it's a binder for the community, because everybody understands this, regardless of what your situation is or what you believe. Everybody enjoys the trees up here, and we've all lost something. So I'm seeing more and more adult volunteers show up asking how they can be a part of this. It's a great thing for the community. That's all I can say.
And so if a person shows up to volunteer, I mean, how many seedlings are they likely to handle in a shift?
I'm seeing a person could possibly put in, you know, 50 to 100 trees in, you know, an hour and a half if, you know, they are whistling and just, you know, working along.
All right. So, Kara Balog, any chance of a repeat of this? I mean, we know anything about what the seedling supply is going to be like next year with fewer areas to plant.
Yeah, the hard thing about seedlings is they require about 2 years, 3 years overhead. So we're expecting to see still a few seedlings. You know, we'll hopefully there'll be some leftovers for us, but this, for as far as we know, this is a one-time deal.
Okay, so the music is a little early, so we'll back it up and try it again. You guys don't have quite as little time as you think you do, but one more time, Kara, you were saying that that you haven't picked a day and a date or time and month yet to pick up the seedlings, or do you?
We have actually, yeah. Okay. So the second Tuesday of every month between 10 and 7, and yeah, folks, give me a call at 541-776-7371 to arrange a pickup. The pickup will be in Butte Falls at the charter school, but yeah.
Okay.
And ahead, Jeffrey, Chris. Volunteers can contact me at 541-821-2151 if they'd like to come up and be involved in the potting up process.
541-821-2151?
That's correct.
Okay. Good to talk to you both, and thanks for telling and sharing the story of what's going on with the tree seedlings being put together, being put into pots. Not planted yet, not till January. Chris Mathis at Butte Falls Charter School, Kara Balog at SOREC. Thank you both for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.